And then we've got Tony Bourdain. Now, why is it that some people pull off outrageous so adroitly that we're smitten rather than repelled? Well, Bourdain's specialty is pulling back the curtain of the food establishment. His first book, Kitchen Confidential, got us behind the real restaurant kitchen door. And now he's out with another book, Medium Raw, A Bloody Valentine to the World of Food and the People Who Cook. Tony, it's good to have you back.
Good to be with you again.
You know, at the beginning of the book, you're at a dinner with a bunch of chefs, very, very famous chefs. And you observe that not one of those people would hire you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask the question, what are you doing there? I guess this, you know, this takes me to this. How do you see yourself at this point in the world of food?
Well, I mean, for better or worse, I see myself as a, you know, this yet another overprivileged foodie, you know, with all the bad that that implies. You know, I find myself at a table with all of these great chefs taking part in sort of the grand slam of rare meals, you know, on the basis of something other than cooking. So, you know, there was a certain amount of, I don't know, discomfort with that, and also a sense of how absurd and yet wonderful it is that I would be so lucky as to find myself sitting there at a table with my heroes.
Do you see yourself as the person whose job it is to point out all the emperors are not wearing clothes?
No, absolutely not. I don't see it as my responsibility. I don't think I should be trusted, in fact, to be any kind of advocate or spokesperson or anything like that. I am a guy who's fortunate enough to not have a reputation to protect or a business to protect. I don't see myself as an ombudsman or anything like that. I think I'm too morally compromised.
You have a whole section on heroes and villains, which mm-hmm. I have to say, you know, who can resist reading this kind of opinion? But I'm going to name some names, and I'd love to
sure.
know your thoughts about these people. Alice Waters.
You know, it's a continuing argument in my head, to, you know, with Alice. I mean, I like what she's saying. I just hate how she says it, when she says it. And you know, she just seems unable to say the right thing without putting her foot in her mouth right afterwards. But who could disagree with much of what she says? She's an enormously important figure in the world of food. You know, the cradle of the revolution of American dining did happen at Chez Panisse. But man, one thing after another that just seems really tone deaf.
For instance?
You know, an inability to understand that this food, this organic, sustainable food, is often much more expensive. And that this disconnect with the concerns of real working people, you know, when she says, somebody asked her about this, well, you know, why should people spend $6 for a bunch of organic grapes when it's, you know, $2 more than non-organic? And she said something like, you know, well, maybe the poor should like cut back on their cell phone minutes or that second pair of Nikes. I just think that was so dismissive and contemptuous and out of touch. And this is an argument that has to be won in the streets on a grassroots level. And, mm-hmm. and to see someone, you know, as privileged as Alice and as out of touch saying those things again and again, I think does the cause no good.
I think I know what's coming, but I'm going to take a shot at this anyway. Food Network?
Well, obviously, you know, I'm not a big fan, but then again,
but you were on the Food Network, right?
Yeah, it ended badly. honestly, as much as I despise much of their programming, I think ultimately their influence has been good for the world and for me personally. I mean, they've helped empower chefs, make chefs stars, make chefs important, and make it more likely that the customers walking into a restaurant trust and are interested in the chef, whereas, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, they didn't care. Chefs were seen as service personnel. So, you know, the celebrity chef scam, as annoying as it is, I think it's on balance good for the world. So I have mixed emotions, particularly as I've become part of the problem.
How about Jamie Oliver?
I think he's good for the world. I think I really admire what he's done with his fight against childhood obesity, that he's chosen to take the probably less successful career path of annoying us, telling us things we don't want to hear, and what is probably going to be, in his lifetime at least, a losing cause. I admire that. I admire that he's doing the difficult thing, that he's an advocate for the world's health. You know, better him than me.
Mm-hmm. Gordon Ramsay?
I like Gordon. I admire him as a chef. I hate that show, Hell's Kitchen. I despise it. I think
why?
It's because unlike Top Chef, which has a very high level of contestant, Hell's Kitchen, these are, you know, the lame, the halt, and the delusional. It's an angry British guy yelling at these poor, sad, deluded, out of shape, largely incompetent people. It's a, you know, it's like a carnival. That's just cruel, even for me.
But don't you think the anger thing does work? In terms of the popularity?
It's a huge success. And, you know, I completely understand why Gordon's doing it. He's doing it for $250,000 an episode, as I understand it. But, I mean, you know, when there's no suspense as to, you know, who will be the executive chef of the next Gordon Ramsay restaurant, really, because I don't think any of them are up to the job. The only question is, will the morbidly obese guy who had a heart attack last season pass out before he dunks the French fries, you know?
Tony, we've got a question for you from Facebook. It's Jennifer, and I think we've got Jennifer on the line.
Hello.
Jennifer, hi.
Well, hello, Lynn. I feel very, very fortunate to be a part of this. Hello, Tony.
Hi, how you doing?
We're glad to have you. Now, what's your question for Tony?
Tony, what do you think you might have done with your life had you not become a chef?
I could tell you what I would have liked to have done. I mean, if I could live my life over again, I would have preferred to have been Bootsy Collins and Parliament Funkadelic, their bass player. I would like to be a bass player in a funk band, but that wasn't going to happen. What was likely, had I not become a dishwasher and then a cook, to be perfectly honest, I'm sure I would have slipped into a life of petty criminality, imprisonment, and death. I mean, that's... Dishwashing saved my life. It was the first time that I went home respecting myself, respecting others, with anything to feel proud of. Mm. You know, even now, the business attracts certain personality types who sense in themselves need for immediate gratification, of quantifiable success or failure, and a general discomfort with the regular 9-to-5 job.
Jennifer, have you worked in restaurants?
No, I have not. Mm-mm. No, I always liked in Kitchen Confidential, I think it was when Tony was describing that moment, that almost that epiphany he had when he was in France with his parents. And I wonder if that had not had happened, if he still would have gone on along that culinary bend that he had gone on to. But it sounds like, in fact, you would have.
Yeah, I think for sure I would have. I got into the restaurant business for reasons completely other than food. Like, I found a tribe that would have me and mm-hmm. that I felt comfortable with. That early oyster experience certainly resonated later when I started to get serious about cooking. But it came as a surprise to me that I was a proud dishwasher, that it mattered to me what my coworkers thought of my performance, that was suddenly a very, very important thing.
Hmm. Hey, Jennifer, thank you for calling.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you so much.
And Tony, thank you.
Thank you, as always. A good time.
Anthony Bourdain's author of Medium Raw, A Bloody Valentine to the World of Food and the People Who Cook.